Sandy got rid of Edith, told her he'd call her back or have Ennis call her if he was around. That taken care of, Sandy went out back with Kurt. There was no mistaking Ennis's car, the American Motors Gremlin they all made fun of. It stood not far from the plow Johnny Parker had moved out of Shed B to make room for the Buick. The shadows of both the car and the plow straggled long in the declining sun of a summer evening, printed on the earth like tattoos. Sandy and Kurt looked inside the Gremlin and saw nothing but the usual road litter. Hamburger wrappers, soda cans, Tipperillo boxes, couple of maps, an extra uniform shirt hung from the hook in back, an extra citation book on the dusty dashboard, some bits of fishing gear. All that rickrack looked sort of comforting to them after the sterile emptiness of the Buick. The sight of Ennis sitting behind the wheel and snoozing with his old pirate's cap tilted over his eyes would have been even more comforting, but there was no sign of him. Kurt turned and started back toward the barracks. Sandy had to break into a trot in order to catch up and grab his arm. "Where do you think you're going?" he asked. "To call Tony." "Not yet," Sandy said. "Let him have his dinner. We'll call him later if we have to." "I hope to God we don't." Before checking anything else, even the upstairs common room, Kurt and Sandy checked Shed B. They walked all around the car, looked inside the car, looked under the car. There was no sign of Ennis Rafferty in any of those places, at least not that they could see. Of course, looking for signs in and around the Buick that evening was like looking for the track of one particular horse after a stampede has gone by. There was no sign of Ennis specifically, but "Is it cold in here or is it just me?" Kurt asked. They were about ready to return to the barracks. Kurt had been down on his knees with his head cocked, taking a final look underneath the car. Now he stood up, brushing his knees. "I mean, I know it's not freezing or anything, but it's colder than it should be, wouldn't you say?" Sandy actually felt too hot. Sweat was running down his face, but that might have been nerves rather than room temperature. He thought Kurt's sense of cold was likely just a holdover from what he'd felt or thought he felt out at the Jenny station. Kurt read that on his face easily enough. "Maybe it is. Maybe it is just me. Fuck, I don't know. Let's check the barracks. Maybe he's downstairs in supply, cooping. Wouldn't be the first time." The two men hadn't entered Shed B by either of the big roll-up doors, but rather through the doorknob-operated, people-sized door that was set into the right side. Kurt paused in it instead of going out, looking back over his shoulder at the Buick. His gaze as he stood beside the wall of pegged hammers, clippers, rakes, shovels, and one pulse-hole digger, the red AA on the handle stood not for Alcoholics Anonymous but Archy Arcanian, was angry. Almost baleful. "It wasn't in my mind," he said, more to himself than to Sandy. "It was cold. It's not now, but it was." Sandy said nothing. "Tell you one thing," Kurt said. "If that goddamn car is going to be around long, I'm getting a thermometer for this place. I'll pay for it out of my own pocket if I have to. And say, someone left the damn trunk unlocked. I wonder who..." He stopped. Their eyes met, and a single thought flashed between them. "Fine pair of cops we are." They had looked inside the Buick's cabin and underneath, but had ignored the place that was, according to the movies at least, the temporary body disposal site of choice for murderers, both amateur and professional. The two of them walked over to the Buick and stood by the back deck, peering at the line of darkness where the trunk was unlatched. "You do it, Sandy," Kurt said. His voice was low, barely above a whisper. Sandy didn't want to, but decided he had to. Kurt was, after all, still a rookie. He took a deep breath and raised the trunk's lid. It went up much faster than he had expected. There was a clunk when it reached the top of its arc, loud enough to make both men jump. Kurt grabbed Sandy with one hand, his fingers so cold that Sandy almost cried out.